Welcome to the Ecology and Research Channel. Green issues, ecology, incredibly important to embodiment. Obviously, we're embodied in place, we're embodied in a world. How we treat ourselves is how we treat the planet and vice versa. So this is super important, I think, for our whole planet. Research relates to this. We've sort of put two together there. We didn't quite know where to put research, so we put them in with ecology. This stage has lots of great speakers, people I personally enjoy, and it's sponsored by Forests Without Frontiers. So rather than sell a sponsorship for this channel, we decided, you know what, let's give it away to a green charity. Tree planting seemed a good one. We thought we can all get behind that. We all breathe air. We looked into a load, actually. Some of them are quite famous, but don't actually plant a lot of trees, weirdly, or other things aren't so good with them. This one, Forests Without Frontiers, really does the work. They're in charge of a really big reforestation project in Central Europe, but, you know, we're all breathing it, thank you. It's run by Nicoletta, a very cool lady, and just a cool organization that really does the work. The money goes, you know, efficiently to actually planting trees. I'm happy to be supporting them. For me, it was like, you know, when we were looking at our charities to support, a green one just made a lot of sense to me. That just was obvious. Please do support them. Links below. As well as that, enjoy the whole channel. There's so much richness in this topic.
Okay, I am so happy to introduce Dr. Tomie Han. She is an artist and an ethnomusicologist who has devoted her life to the understanding of embodied cultural knowledge. She is a performer of experimental performance art, shakuhachi. A little bit about this session. She will guide us to find how the senses empower, make connections to the world, and offer creativity. Please bring paper, pencil, your body, and an object from nature. A rock, bark, or a leaf. Those are some great examples. We will be heightening sensory awareness to deepen our relationships to others and the world around us. The session will be playful and uplifting, the very nature of playfulness, allowing for a softening of self to expand awareness of sensational knowledge, empathy, compassion, and creativity. Be ready to smile. I am smiling already. Before we hand it over to Tomie, I'll explain how to ask questions. You can click on the raise hand icon at the bottom of the screen, and you can also type your questions in the Q&A. Check to first see if your question has already been asked, and you can upvote it, and it will go higher up on the list. And then I can pass them on to our presenter when the time is right. Okay, I pass over the mic to you, Tomie. Thank you. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much. If you have not already, please take a moment to dash off and get yourself some paper, a little notebook, pencil or pen, a writing object, and something made out of natural material. That can be a rock, or this is coral, or I happen to have bamboo here. So something, it could, if you're at a loss and you don't want to miss anything, grab something that was made out of maybe wood or something like that. And we'll use that a little bit later in our scene here today. So first, because we're devoting ourselves to embodiment, I really want us to be in our bodies and not so much on the screen. So let's settle in. Let's be grounded. So wherever you are, if you're sitting in a chair, please, just for this moment, place both feet flat on the ground, knees apart. So you're stable. If you want to wiggle a little bit to make sure that your sits bones are really solid on that chair, nice open open chest, sternum into your collarbone, shoulders back, nice upright posture. If you're sitting on the floor like I am, it can be the same, but cross-legged, or feel grounded and connected. Everybody together as a community, let's breathe in. Hold it at the top and exhale. Feeling really rooted to the earth and to the ground one more time as a community. And exhale. Thank you. A little mini overview of what I'd like to offer you today. There's several creative explorations that will draw our attention to embodiment, interspersed with some commentary and some observations. I'm not going to get too scholarly on you. I will be reading a little bit of text at one point, but because we are together for this moment, even if you're watching this later on video, I would like you to have an opportunity to really be in the moment and be here with everyone now. So let's settle in. So let's start off with a mini exploration. Please have your paper and pencil handy because I'm going to ask you to grab it right away. So everyone, please take your hands and rub them together. Okay, so what I'm going to ask you to do is to hold your palms, even if you have earbuds in like I do, hold your palms against your ears and close your eyes and breathe in and out slowly and note as many sensory details as possible. I'm going to pause for this and then I'll bring you back in. So right after this moment pause, I'm going to ask you to jot as many things on the piece of paper. Doesn't have to make sense, but could be one word, one word, one word. I'll guide you through this again. So warm up your hands again. Earbuds on or off, depends on what you feel like you want to do. Palms along your head. Close your eyes. Breathe deeply. In and out slowly and notice. Okay, gently take your hands off your ears and go directly to your paper. I'll give you about 30 seconds. So write as much, draw as much as possible. What did you notice? Impulses, sensory detail. We could do this for a long period of time, but I want to use this as an example. So if you are going somewhere with whatever you're writing, just jot down a few things of where you're going, because I'm going to interrupt you now. And then set it aside, but not too far, because we're going to keep bringing that paper and pencil back. I have a little bit of background information. I'm going to share my screen and then we're going to keep doing more observations. So let's see, share screen. Elise, are we good?
Perfect.
Great. So I'm going to give you a little bit of background on myself so you understand who the heck is talking. I want you to understand the frame, the lens from which I'm coming from, a mini background of who I am. I was born in New York, but I had some of my childhood in Tokyo. I have studied a considerable amount of what's called okeikogoto, or the practice arts, in Japan. I'm a certified yoga instructor, a longtime meditator, an ethnomusicologist, and sensory studies is another field that that I study. So moving along in my PowerPoint here, let's see if this works. Let's see, where are we? This is what's important to me. We embody people, places, and things. Sensibilities transforming us over time. We embody what we experience, what we practice, and how we practice lingers. Good golly. Here we go. So this is just I'm not going to give you my whole background of what I do. So these are just quick flash screens of my primary teacher, Master Tachibana, Iemoto Tachibana Yoshie, up top, upper right, experimental performance with sensors on the far left. And I've been deeply influenced also by Pauline Oliveros, who's on the bottom right. Little window into my book, which is called Sensational Knowledge Embodying Culture Through Japanese Dance. I am absolutely fascinated by what ethnomusicologists and folklorists, sensory studies people call transmission. Basically, it's learning through the body. But specifically for me, this is about the senses and how we learn through our bodies and embody culture. So this is one of the things that I think about. It's not one of the things, it's maybe only thing I think about. And then another field site, just for fun, to show you that I also interview monster truck builders and drivers and go to rallies. So these, just to give you a contrast of things that that I both research and work and play with. I have an upcoming book called Arousing Sense, and it's about workshopping through the senses in order to move forward with ideas, what is inside and what is outside the body. So allow me to, I'm going to read a little bit, but it won't be so much about the senses, because primarily we're talking about how the senses are, how they orient us in the world. The senses situate us directly in a location and in the moment, as sensory experiences occur and change over time. The more sensory impressions that arise and are noticed, the greater the memory imprint of that moment, event, environment. Sensory experience is essentially about communication, about transmission between bodies and the environment, other individuals, as well as the interior landscape of our bodies, which I believe you just experienced a moment of. What we sense and what we make of an experience reflexively reveals who we are, our environment, and the culture we live in. I value how attention to qualities of sensory experience convey both our individuality and our connectedness to our environments and other things and people. If we are able to note the differences and similarities through our experiential engagements. But how does sensory information provide cues for where we are in time and space? Or when a dish we're cooking is ready, or burned. Sensory qualities punctuate time and instill memories, such as an alarm ringing, a cricket in the summer, or incense burning during a ritual. These cues orient us deeply. So let's awaken by aspiring to explore, flex, and heighten sensory awareness. Sensory modalities express and manifest energy and existence differently over time. Can we notice the nuances, then express or convey what we notice? If we consider that we inhabit different sensory worlds, personally and culturally, then building awareness of the sensibilities someone else might be experiencing can expand our knowledge of self-other and open communication. Some sensibilities may be intrinsically subtle or outside of our own experience and that we're completely unaware of. Deepening awareness, sensational knowledge supports empathy and encourages compassion. The consciousness starts with the smallest of impulses, shifting one's sensory point of view, being open, shedding assumptions, and inviting empathy and vulnerability into our explorations can enable deep revelations that what we experience may not be the same as what others experience. Beyond that, how we interpret and respond expressively to experiences can help us to expand, imagine, and notice how we orient ourselves in the moment. So for this moment, I would like us to, to take up that natural object, that rock or branch, if it's a pencil, something metal, and take a moment to hold it and to feel it. If it helps to really bring forward your tactile modality, close your eyes. I offer that you could do this for probably half an hour, but I'm going to run us through it a little bit quicker. So now open your eyes and really contemplate it, looking at it. How is the sensory modality of touch a little bit different than what you see? Draw it up to your nose. Are there any smells related to this object? You could be smelling your hand cream. That's quite all right. Just take in this moment. This moment we're sharing together. And see if you can find some enjoyment, some playfulness in this. Even some absurdity helps. Now I'm going to ask you to put that object aside and to go directly to your notebooks. You get 30 seconds. To jot, write down single words, full sentences, what have you. Again, as in last time, I'm going to interrupt you. So if you feel like you're going somewhere, and if we were doing this as a workshop together, we would probably take a half an hour. So if there's somewhere you're going with this, take the next few seconds to jot down a few notes. Thank you. I want to talk about the importance of time, and this is the last I'm going to be reading, I believe. Awareness of changes in sensory qualities over time magnifies presence. What sensory changes we perceive and notice affects larger contexts and can vary widely, witnessing difference, noting hegemonic structures, sensing climate changes, recognizing the situatedness of our lives and relations to others and things, and observing nuances of presence. Recognizing changes allows us to be sensitive to others, to pause and consider how to respond and interact. I can't emphasize enough how important this is and the impact of heightening one's awareness and sensitivity can be on self-awareness and communication, and returning back for a moment, that feeling of connectedness to others and our environment, but also that realization that what you're experiencing at this very moment probably is very different than the next person. This very small impulse and reminder, this pause, can really change how we move forward, and gives a little bit of space in that pause to provide for an openness, yet also a connectedness. So I want us to move from here and see if we have any questions at this moment. Elise, perhaps you can help me out if there's any questions in the QA. We will have another moment of questioning at the very end, but Elise and I were planning ahead and thinking how it might be nice to have a few of these small impulse explorations that are sensory driven, and then offer up if there's any questions. So Elise, do you see anything that we should attend to?
In the Q&A, what is the source of the text that you are reading? Is it from one of your books?
A little bit is from Sensational Knowledge. And the forthcoming book, my forthcoming book in 2021 by University of Illinois Press, is coming out very soon, Arousing Sense.
Wow, thank you. That's our one question, comments about how lovely the explorations are. Does anybody have any other questions? We'll have time at the end as well. Oh, how can I use this in my daily life? What is the purpose? Great question.
Thank you. So, as an ethnomusicologist, I'm going to kind of parse this a little bit. As an ethnomusicologist, through research, this is what we do. We heighten our observations of the field site. However, let me also offer you that the body is a field site. So now moving on from the research mode to one's everyday experience and contemplation, so we can move into more of the contemplative modality. If you decide every day, I'm going to practice something, and this comes up in Arousing Sense, the forthcoming book. If you can set aside a little bit of time every day, a particular object, or it can be, if you're not near anything that you particularly are able to connect to sit. Pauline Oliveros and deep listening practices really utilize the sensation of listening to reach out into the world and also into the body to kind of make a connectedness. I would also think that you can expand this by moving into your sensory modalities. There's not just five. These are what we have been taught so strongly throughout our lives, but there are other sensory modalities and different cultures acknowledge different ones. So going back to your question, which is a super important one, if one can set aside a little time every day, maybe in a notebook you're drawing or doing some free writing, I would suggest putting aside a little bit of time, 10 minutes, 5 minutes. I do this every single day. If I don't have anything that I've done, then I do this just before bed. I have notebooks next to my bed and I doodle, and that might become a poem tomorrow, or it might become a drawing for tomorrow. So we're not looking for masterpieces. We're looking for impulses that help you in expressivity, but also connecting in with your world and reminding yourself that your experience isn't necessarily what others are experiencing. And this is a really wonderful thing to share. So if we were in the same room together, we would talk about it. What did you experience? And have a sharing space. I hope that answered your question. If it didn't, please ask it again.
That was beautiful. Do you recommend tuning into the energy of the object and allowing the psyche to work with any images that might arise?
Could you repeat it?
Do you recommend tuning into the energy of the object and allowing the psyche to work with any images that might arise?
Super important. And this ties so deeply with what I was saying a moment ago, that if you're feeling like there is some kind of energy and presence in whatever it is that you're working with, that is a part of your own world and your sensational knowledge, you know, how you embody the world and intuit through that. So I would write about it. I would express it. And so this is going actually right to the bone, literally, of what I'm talking about. Someone else, if we were sitting together, someone else might say, I don't get it. I don't get any energy from this rock at all. I was raised in a culture that believes that there's ki, you know, there's energy in all, not only sentient beings, but that there's energy in all that exists. So part of being a part of the embodiment conference, specifically to ecology, is really important, because connectedness not only to yourself and others, but these objects which have energy. But again, someone else might say, don't get it, don't understand it, want to learn about it, I'm curious about it, but that's not my bag. And that's great. So if that is what you're feeling and you understand that, I offer that you use that as part of your expressivity and being here in the world right now at this moment. Tomorrow you feel that same object, may not do anything for you. How interesting, right? How fascinating. That means that 24 hours later, you're a different person. That rock is a different being. Got something else for me?
Beautiful. Let's see. What's the best way to use the senses to ingrain an experience we want to really remember?
Oh, thank you so much for this. So if you want to remember something, or if you teach, if you're just teaching yourself, if you can reinforce whatever the experience is with as many sensory modalities as you can, it's actually, there's research on this. I'm sorry, I'm not able to spew it out right at this moment. I invite you to email me, but multimodal learning is so important. So if you can visualize what the object is like, and also you have a tactile memory. Tactile memory isn't only just like, oh, I felt that rock, you know, it's, oh, that rock is cold. This rock has a shape. It has pressure. It's hard versus something that's maybe a little bit softer, you know, cushier or something like that. So all of those various sensory modalities, if you can hone in and multiply them as much as possible, you will remember not only that moment, but whatever, if you want factoids and you're memorizing things for an exam, bring it on. Bring on as many sensory tags as you can. People do this when they're trying to remember long speeches, I hear. So they try to visualize being in a certain place and tagging mnemonic devices along the way. So fascinating. So as many sensory modalities as you could possibly think of, and beyond five. So the body as a field site was what someone had asked. Marta. Hi, Marta. Thank you for that.
Great questions, everybody. How does that affect our relations to others and empathy?
Oh, it's all about empathy and vulnerability, actually. You know, so if we snap back to what I had said before, just that single line of what we experience, we can't assume. We can never assume. Even if you have a twin, you can never assume that what you're experiencing at any given moment, this is why it's so wonderful to be so unique in time. You cannot assume that what you are experiencing is the same or even close to what someone else is experiencing. Underscore. I'll chant that again and again. It's coming in my book, Arousing Sense, but this is, I think, really key. I'll state this now because I didn't earlier, but I self-identify biracial as well as Asian American. I am Japanese and German American mix. Even my perspective is going to be different than someone else because of the way I was raised. I was raised by two very wacky artists, visual artists. That will also change the way I perceive the world. All the experiences and baggages that I hold, all the meditating, et cetera. So each of us here today offer something so unique and so different, but please remember we can fan this out into such great diversity. And I'm using that word specifically. Because we need to hear this now with the pandemic, but also with Black Lives Matter. We need to understand. It starts with the smallest of things. It starts with the impulse. It starts with a piece of coral that if you are sitting with me and you felt this, you would have a very different experience because who are you? What is your body like? Do you have cold hands? What is your experience with this particular piece of coral? Have you never been to the beach before? Let's carry on. But I think you got it.
Beautiful. Wow. How can I use this method to help me say goodbye to someone I love who parted this life traumatically?
Thank you. I would actually like you to email me if possible, because in my, I'm sorry, I keep talking about this book that's coming up. It's in production now. So it's something that's really been on my mind. There are a few, there are 34 workshops, mini workshops in the book. And they're either for just solo or group, or you can change them around. But a few of them are to facilitate working through some more difficult issues. In a way, it's empathizing and going into those vulnerable moments, but it's also going deeper. So I'd rather we either Zoom or discuss this one-on-one if that helps out. Yeah, because there's some really wonderful work that can be done.
Wow, great questions, everybody. Where can we find information on the five senses and how to access them?
How to access them? You're there now. I really mean it. You know, most people are at their computer all day long. We are now. But that's also why I started us by being in our body and really sort of getting here. And I hope that you take a moment to do some of these mini exercises and expand them at home. But if you are working through and using the senses to connect out into to the world and also use it for expressivity and or research, they overlap, by the way, they're the same thing, then I think that is already alerting yourself or heightening awareness. So you are there. You have the ability to sense at this very moment. I have 34 sensory prompts to get you started, but my chant throughout the book is this is just 30, these are just 34. You make up some of your own and move them forward. Change mine to make them suit your own purposes. Look into sensory studies. It's a new field, but there are so many books that are really marvelous. And the senses, if I might connect and maybe even flatten disciplines. So we're raised from very young, no matter where you are on the globe, to sort of parse the senses. So people who have good ears are channeled then into music, right? People who have giant eyes go into art and so on, right? People who dance like myself are from waist down, PE and dance and theater are shuttled off someplace way far away in college campuses, again, because we do things from the waist down. But that's spreading the senses all over a campus, if we can sort of visualize it. But let's bring them back. You are there. You are a person who can open up all those channels and be there and connect them. So it flattens disciplines. I feel really strongly about that.
And to expand on that, we had a couple questions about mentioning that there are more than five other senses in different cultures.
Oh, yes. And also, it should not be a surprise that different cultures have different emphasis on different senses, sensory modalities as well. Again, I ask you to sort of shoot forward to look at the field of sensory studies, because there are so much written now. If you need guidance on how to clarify that, please Facebook friend me and or email me. I should. Is my email already up somewhere?
We could put your information in the chat. I think Jeremy could do that, or you could do that.
So here's one.
Definitely put your information.
Then there's
by the finish. Because they have a couple of
people
questions.
Have this really wonky name. So, you know, Japanese first name, German last name. So Google search my name and you'll find me.
Great. Thank you. Yeah, I'm so curious about the different senses and cultures. Do you have tips for people who are maybe oversensitive to embodied sensations and how they can reframe the experience or make it more safe for themselves?
I do. I am a highly sensitive person, but I still work on it, and I try to understand how those sensibilities or those heightened kinds of sensibilities that make me who I am, how that is part of the way that I interact with people, and also kind of that screen, right? And how I filter. So sometimes I know that I need to filter and be more, not distracted by maybe something jittering in the room, et cetera, because that's taking my attention. So that one is if you're asking that question, it means that you're probably super aware of that in yourself. And it changes through the day. And some people here may not have noticed that in themselves. And then to move forward and think, oh, gosh, there's certain times of day, maybe early morning, where I am all senses on, you know. And then it changes through the day. Just noticing that and seeing how that changes your communication and interaction, not only with others, but your orientation in the space and the room and with things is a huge, huge step. So just noticing is so important. Yeah. Again, I offer you to try to, I am one of those sense people. So yeah. Let's
see. Oh, here's a great one. Would you share your approach experience with music, which is not an object, sound which you cannot physically touch?
I don't understand the question. Yeah.
Would you share your approach or experience with music? So we've been talking about that is not an object.
That's fine.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so I am a shakuhachi player, but I also write about sound, but it's always related to other sensory modalities. So when I'm in a space, when I'm performing, playing, even when I'm dancing and it's to music, I have that feeling of immersion, right? I never parse sound away from anything else. Again, that's because it's so important to do that. The disciplines, right, of parsing the senses. So when I'm playing music, it is a relational, sensory relational kind of experience for me. But I am sort of prioritizing how I'm, as a shakuhachi player at least, shaping the sound through time and space. If that makes sense. My Shakuhachi is right there, but too much with so little time.
So tempting.
We have 3 minutes, is that right? No, we have more than that.
We have about 5-6 minutes.
Super. I have an exercise that I would like you to do when you leave this session, because it's hard to do it when you are, when you're in a room and other people talking. But and this is in my book. It's so simple, but it's really lovely. And that is to sit someplace relatively quiet and smile as broadly as you can, maybe with eyes closed, and you'll notice something. You'll notice how sound and feeling, there's a little drama that goes on inside your cranium that's inside and outside. The muscles around the ears here are doing something. I will just let it be mysterious. So I offer you that. Maybe we can close with a kind of a related mini. Do we have time, Elise, for one last exploratory?
We have about like 7 minutes.
Oh, that's more time than I thought.
I read it wrong. Sorry. Yay.
No. Yay. Great. Okay. So, everybody. So, warm up your hands again. This is definitely the body is a field site, which somebody really hooked into. Okay. And that comes from, by the way, you know, being an anthropologist or an ethnomusicologist, we go into the field to do our research. Okay, so cup around your ears. Thumbs are in that little divot in the back, along not as far back as the occipital ridge, but here. Okay. And move the fingers outward and then towards the ears. Breathe normally. Notice what you're hearing. And then let your thumbs explore the occipital ridge now. That is the ridge in the back of the cranium that cups in the very back of the head. You can use all your fingers. Imagine you're on another planet. I told you you would smile. really go there. Really think about that landscape back there. Maybe you don't get back there that often to explore it as really intensely, really noting where your particular cranium, the occipital ridge, curves in and out, three-dimensional. Oh, it's beautiful. There's so many nerves there. So I'm going to ask you not to dig too deeply. You're just lightly exploring. You could also just sort of make little circles to give yourself a bonus little massage at the moment. And then move back towards the ears again. And just sit there for a moment. And then gently release. Go to your paper. I'm not going to give you very much time this time. So go to your paper and write a little bit about that landscape. You traversed it. So imagine it as a landscape. Write about it as a landscape. So I invite you to do this with a little bit of a longer longer session on your own. I'm actually squeezing in as many of these little minis as possible, just to give you a little taste of what kinds of sensory prompts you might use to connect in and to explore. And zoomable. So these each would be much, much longer. Some people come back to me and say, well, I wrote a whole short story about, and then fill in the blank about whatever sensory prompt. Sometimes it's smelling something that I give out to a whole workshop of people, and that prompts them to go into a different memory from childhood, or when they had that connection to that place and time with that smell. Here we have an idea of literally the body as a landscape. So I'm going to stop here because I'm sure.
Perfect. That's great. Thank you so much. What a special inquiry into how we can take our senses and our observations and our experience and write them down and inspire even further creativity. That was beautiful. Thank you so much. And also, I am a Monster Truck Rally fan. So we will be talking.
Oh, Michigan. Oh, actually, I have one more thing that I had thought to do and I've forgotten. Okay. If you all look at your sheets of paper from your three different exercises today, and quickly write into the chat a few words here and there. Doesn't have to be a sentence. It can be a partial sentence or a single word. Could you write them into the chat? Because what I would like to do with your permission is to create a poem that then I'll post on Facebook. But it will be sort of our collective. So run, go into the chat. Oh, I'm seeing like, oh, lovely. Keep going. You can do more than one. But I'd be thrilled. I will include all of these. Elise, we will be saving the chat.
I believe so. Jeremy, is there a way to save the chat?
Oh, yeah.
That's a technical question. I am not sure.
It definitely is.
Yes.
Do you do this often?
Yes, I'll do that.
Cool.
Oh, we're coming in. I love it. Wow.
What a great
beautiful
idea.
People.
Yeah, wow. I can't wait to see what comes of this.
Mysterious cavities. Bumpy. Oh, I love these.
I'm going to write a whole thing on mysterious cavities. That is so
cool. Oh, no! Thank you. This is sort of giving me all this percolating energy. So I thank you all for this.
Thank you.
This is sound blanket. Oh my gosh. They're all beautiful.
Oh my God. We have to totally save this.
So everyone do the smile thing after the session, sometime today.
We did have a question that someone didn't hear what to do before the smiling. Was it to sit down somewhere quiet?
Yeah, because I really want you to hear what happens when you smile so broadly that your eyes close. And you will hear something that maybe you haven't noticed before, and do it different times of the day. And it might, yeah, but I don't know what it is. But when I do that, and when I've shared this with other people in a room together in a workshop, everybody has a sensory experience that's a very, very physical, but it's subtle. So we try to tap in. Yep.
What a great practice. Thank you so much. And I look forward to seeing
Jeremy, thank you. These are just amazing coming in. Yes. Wow.
All right, keep them coming, and I'll go over a couple of things, but keep them coming. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Our next session everybody is invited to on this channel is going to be Ilirion Merkuliev, and he will be speaking about Indigenous Elder Knowledge and Wisdom for Modern Times. And of course, to continue this conversation and see all the inspiration that you're providing us, go to the Facebook channel, the Facebook group that was created for this channel. We'll put the information and the link in the chat. You can also search on Facebook, TEC, Ecology and Research. A wonderful place to connect, to continue this conversation, and to share our experience and learnings in this journey together. Also, the Embodiment Conference Library is available for purchase. If you are an embodiment geek like me, you may be tempted to force feed yourself all of these yummy sessions in a short amount of time, but you do not need to do that. If you purchase a library, you can digest all the goodness in your own time and not miss out on anything, as well as it is an incredible gift to the world. It allows all these sessions to be free. And also a thank you to all of us who are having fun over here. Thank you so much. And we'll wrap up with just one more thing. I have one last question. What is your top tip to stay embodied?
Of course, I'm going to say being present to yourself and the senses, being really to be as connected as you feel is appropriate at that time. For some of us who can be a little bit on, you know, overload time, that might actually be pulling back, but yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. That was a wonderful, wonderful session together. Thank you everybody for joining us, and I look forward to learning more with everybody. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Elise.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Do I just leave, or I just wrote to Jeremy begging him for
the chat?
Yes, I will email you with the chat.
Thanks, Jeremy, you rock.
Yeah, I got it.
Jeremy, you got it?
Yep, I have it.
Oh my God, that's so cool.
Oh, good.
That's going to be fun. I'm going to have so much fun with those. They're beautiful.
And I'm also looking forward to, I'll connect with you on email about your Monster Truck Rally. Embodied Monster Truck Rally.
No. Oh, I'll send you some articles. Yeah,
you have my email, but I'll remind you.
Of course, Michigan. Oh my gosh.
Of course. Yeah. There are no demolition derbies or monster truck rallies in Israel. So I'm super excited to connect on that too. I'm sorry, you guys, I'm geeking out.
Adrian, hi. Thank you for asking me, inviting
me. Thank you for coming. So brilliant.
I so appreciate this. And Jeremy, I felt you the whole time with the support. Dude, you are there. Thank you. I am so, so grateful.
Right.
And Elise, you rocked it.
We'll
Dream team.
Dream team. Yeah.
Bye, everyone.
All right.
See you.
Be good.
Bye.
Or be really, really bad.
Okay. Bye. Thank you. Beautiful.
Bye.
Bye.